Amen. I want to welcome everybody today. In case you were living out in the boonies, you know we had election this week, right? You know, so I want to address that a little bit before we go into our message. You know, one thing that we need to remember is the fact that as we approach our attitude towards this last week, is that we need to understand that those who won need to be humble in victory and those who lost need to be gracious in defeat. And with saying that, we know that we also need to exercise patience because we know that it's still being litigated and things like that. So we just need to be patient, let things play out, don't get all worked up about it. You know, we just need to pray. And something, maybe you don't know how to pray about this. And here's what I do. I pray that things in darkness will come to the light. If there's anything there, it needs to be found. You know, I know nobody here would like their vote taken away from them. And if there is some things to it, maybe it won't overturn the election, but there's some good can come out of it if we can maybe, you know, get to the bottom of some of the problems that maybe we have, you know, in some states or in some cities where there is some either voter oppression or there is where they're stealing votes or taking votes and making false votes. So I come from it from a very simplistic way. My mom taught me a couple things in life, and one of them was the fact that, you know, we don't like liars and we don't like thieves or cheats. So we need to find out for sure and just be patient and just pray for the things to work out. And when it's over, right? And then we move on. So just be patient and keep in prayer. Okay, so in saying that, we're going to start with our next installment of the Me 2.0. And this is part two. And last week, we having problems today, Jason? Okay, we'll check that out. Maybe that was God keeping the election stuff off of there, you know what I mean? I don't know. Okay, yeah, I checked everything. I thought it was good. So, anyway, the idea of Me 2.0, and this is part two, and what we're going to look at today is the idea that how God created us. And I want us to see the fact that we were created for good works by a good God. And we need to understand that and to be able to come into a relationship with a loving and living God. And know that we're just not down here by chance, but God actually has a plan for each of our lives. And only God can see that plan. And I feel that we need to know why we were created. You know, the greatest day, you know, that I had was, you know, one of them was when I came into relationship, with God, and I found out why he put me on this planet. See, not only we were born for a reason, but I believe we're born again for a reason. And it's important that we come to terms with that. And, you know, sadly, many Christians sometimes don't really know, you know, why they're here. They kind of drift through life and they live apart from the center of God's will. And one thing that God's always put in my heart is I want to be in the center of his will. And that's very important to me. And I hope you make that important to you. Because God does have a perfect plan. And so we need to ask ourselves this question. Is there a difference between where we are now in life and where we feel that God has called us to be? The scripture I want to look at first, we're going to look at a couple, is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Should be a very familiar scripture. It says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be here today to lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, we thank you. We're not here by chance, but we're here for a reason. Lord, right now I ask that you stir up the gift inside of me and help me use it for your glory. We take authority over any hindrance or disturbance that tries to rob from this service today. And Lord Jesus, we just want your perfect will to be done. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, this should be a scripture that you probably should have highlighted, you know, in your Bible. Not with a black Sharpie, amen? You don't want to use a black Sharpie and wipe it out, but use a little yellow one or something. So it just pops when you open that scripture up, okay? Because this really brings a lot of purpose to our life on what God wants for us to do, okay? First, it says that we were created in Christ. Now, the word create there is saying to make or create something that had not existed before. Now, even though you might be 50 years old, the day you get born again, you've been recreated. And it's a new you. You get a whole fresh start. And then I believe you step in to your divine destiny, the plan that God has had for your life since the foundation of the world. And we need to understand how important that is. See, when we become born again, I like to think of us as a blank canvas, and we let God, you know, be able to make us into a masterpiece. Now, you've seen me clap, so you know that my drawing capabilities are about equal with that. I have no ability to make pretty things on a canvas, but there is people that can. It amazes me, and just think how much more that God can do that in the lives of people when we allow Him to take control of our life. See, we were regenerated in Christ to go and do good works. That's why we were born again. See, a lot of people think, wow, I just don't have to go to hell now. I get to go to heaven. Now, that is the best part. I ain't going to lie to you. But if that's the case, we might as well just die and go to heaven, right? If that's all there is. But see, God has so much more. But God has recreated us, and He's put inside of us things that we're supposed to be able to accomplish, and He gave us everything that we need to be able to accomplish everything He wants to do in our life. And what I like about them, old things, like we've always said, are passed away. All things become new. Get a whole fresh start. He didn't just fix us, but He made us brand new. See, to me, we were not just saved from something, but we were saved to do something. To me, eternity is important, but so is your neighbor. And I want us to focus on that today a little bit, the idea of that God has called us to make a difference in other people's lives. I thank God for the difference He made in my life. I mean, it was a life-changing experience for me when I became born again and surrendered my life to Him. And, you know, it was the most awesome decision that I ever made. But with that, also, God put in a burden in my heart that if it's good enough for me, then it must be good enough for everybody else also. And so we need to see that we need to make a difference here on this planet. We need to be doing things for the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible says there, like I said, we were created in Christ. Now we're going to see that we are His workmanship. Now, the word workmanship there means masterpiece. Now, I want you to be honest right now. Have you ever considered yourself a masterpiece? You know, something that is, you know, like one of the great art things. Now, you know, a lot of us have some masterpieces at home. You know, maybe your little kid made some stick men, you know, and, you know, you hang that on your refrigerator. And you think, wow, you know, look how good my kid is. Well, to be honest, it'll never make it to the Louvre or some major museum, will it? Come on. You got to be real. But I have been in the Louvre before. I have been in some big museums, and it just amazes me the ability that some people have to be able to take something from paint and put it on a piece of canvas and then look at what come out of that. But just think how much more God can do in your and my life. Because God's the one who gave those people them abilities. And just think what God can do inside of us when we allow Him to let us be changed and to do everything that He wants for us to accomplish in this world. Now, a lot of people love the mountains. You know, I lived in Denver for 9 years. It was good. I ain't going to lie to you. It was all right. But a lot of my friends growing up, they wanted to go to Denver. I remember that. And I never wanted to go there. I was just happy in Iowa. All of a sudden, God led me out to Denver, and that's where I got saved and went to Bible school. And, you know, you look out there and just see how majestic those mountains are. You know, and I've also had the benefit of, I've been to an ocean. And you see the beauty of all of God's creation. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? But yet, God made something even better. He waited till the end, and He made you and me. We're the crown of His creation. God could see the mountains. He could see the oceans. He could see all the things that He made. But it wasn't good enough. God wanted you, and God wanted me. And that's what he did when he created Adam and Eve. And God is the master planner. He knows that he can see down the road and just be able to see everything that we need to understand. I believe God is a big picture kind of guy. Now, God can look at a tree and then he can see a house that tree is going to help build. It's just amazing. We don't have that ability, but God does. God can see that. See, God made the tree, and he also can see what the tree can become. And I want us to see today that God made us, and he also can see what you and I can become. I don't know about you, but starting out in Christianity for me, I didn't have a clue what the future held. I didn't. I just know that I was separated from God, and I had a problem, and I need to deal with it, and I had to surrender my life to Christ, and I did that, and I stepped into it, and all of a sudden, then there came a purpose, but yet I didn't really know everything, and nobody really does, probably. But I do know this, that as I endeavored to continually just follow after God, hang around people that were on fire for God, that were serious about it, the plan for my life started to unfold. And things that were in the distance that were blurry all of a sudden became visible. I had to step out in faith and follow God. God didn't make me do anything. God has never made me go on a mission trip. He has never made me lead somebody to the Lord. But he set those opportunities in front of me. And I had to add my free will to be able to do that, just like many of you had to do in your life. There's a scripture found in Isaiah. There's several that talks about this, but I chose to look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And all of us are the work of your hand." Okay. I believe there's one thing that you and I fail to understand sometimes, and that's the dynamics of the potter-pot relationship. I think we lose sight of that sometimes in life because we feel that we're the ones who have to, you know, do all the decisions and make sure everything's okay. But we have to understand there's a good God out there and he wants to do some great and mighty things in us. You know, I remember one time, it's only one time, you know, like I say, I can't clap and I can't write very neat. You know, I could have been a doctor, but I didn't like all that schooling, I guess. But, you know, the way I write things. But one thing I tried, I remember one time I tried a potter's wheel. Has anybody ever tried one of those? You know, I had that little glob of clay on there and turned the wheel on. It's one of those little electric ones or something. And I put my hand on it and boom, disaster. You know, it just tore it all up. Well, then somebody else just gets on there and they're so gifted, they just know just exactly where to put their hands and how to form their hands. And just a little bit time, all of a sudden, something just came out of that blob of clay. Something beautiful. All I could do is destroy it. It wasn't my thing. I have other gifts. I'll get to them later, maybe. You know, I know I was, you know, I have some other things I'm good at. But the idea is that, you know, I think that the reason why some of us have to work on that potter-pot relationship because some of us are crackpots. You know what I mean? Or cracked pots. We have cracks. Get it? Oh, come on. That wasn't that bad a joke. But anyway, you know, the idea of what it means to, you know, we can be a little bit broken sometimes, and God wants to fix us. See, when we look at somebody or, you know, I try to give everybody the benefit of doubt. You about got to prove me wrong. You know, but sometimes we look at somebody, we just see a blob of mud. But see, God can see a chosen vessel of honor. You know, I've watched God work in so many different people's lives. And it just amazes me, you know, where we all start at. We're so maybe confused or not understanding anything. And then all of a sudden, over a little process of time, and it may not be that long, all of a sudden you see, wow, look what God is doing through that person. It's just amazing. I would never have, you know, recognized that gift perhaps. You know, I maybe was looking at them, you know, in the natural. But see, God can look down inside. Like I said, God can see the tree and he can see the house. See, when God looks at you and me, he sees the end result of what you and I are supposed to accomplish. All we have to do is be willing, people. You know, the best decision you're going to make is say, God, I want to be in the center of your will. I know you put things inside of me. I know you've gifted me with different things. See, we all can't do everything. Like I say, I can't, you know, make a blob of clay into something beautiful. You know, I can't clap on time to save my life. You know, but I can do other things. God can speak to me, and I give messages to people. But see, it's just different. We're all just a little different. Now, some people wouldn't want to come up here and say things. I mean, it don't bother me. It probably did starting out. But I knew that, you know, I feel total confidence when I hear from God to deliver that message. Doesn't bother me one thing, one bit about it. Because I know I've heard from God. And see, so we need to accept the things that God has called us to do. You know, maybe you want to be something you're not supposed to be. I would encourage you to stay in your lane, bro, like they say. You know, God, you're never going to be satisfied until you're doing what God's called you to do. Me, another thing I love doing is kids. I love kids, you know. And, you know, we go out and we reach kids on Wednesday night, and that's our one of our outreach programs that we do. And, you know, I put a bunch of kids in the van, and, oh, it's chaotic and it's crazy, you know, and it's just out of, you know, I mean, it's too much even for some of the kids to be in there. But I love it. Amen. I thrive on it because I'm going out there and plucking those kids out of hell and bringing them in and giving them an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ, you know. And, you know, we need to be doing something that God has put inside of us to do. We can't do everything, but we can do something. See, I believe that, you know, the Father knows best. You know, it's hard sometimes to accept the idea of what it means to feel that God is in control of your life. Because I've watched people that go overboard with that. You know what I mean? They go hyper-Calvinism. I'm not into that at all. I do believe that we have the free will, so you got to merge those two things together. You know, I believe that if we're a spiritual person, you know, we need to follow God, and we need to walk in the plan that He has for us, but yet God's still going to give you the right to make that choice. That choice has not been taken away. And so we need to balance those two thoughts together. See, the idea is, I've always admired this too about the potter and the pot, but, you know, people that can make statues. I had the benefit when I was in Europe several times, and one time I was backpacking around right before I got saved, and, you know, I was able to see the Statue of David. I mean, that thing's just amazing. You know, it's just smooth, the marble and everything, and, you know, and, you know, different people, you know, have looked at it and just see the marvel of it. See, when I see a big rock, you know, I see something that can be put into a building to make it stronger. But Michelangelo, he could see a statue inside of there. He could see David from the outside of the rock. All he had to do is take away the unneeded parts. And see, that's what you and I need to do with God. See, God can see the beautiful statue, the beautiful thing that He's created us to be. All we have to do is let the wise master builder, the craftsman, take away the parts of our life that aren't needed. Because I'll be honest, I think we could probably all recognize the fact that we have some things in our life that we don't need, some things in our life that are holding us back from getting really close to God or maybe getting really close to other Christians. You know, we pull back and we hold ourselves away from people and stay aloof. But see, God wants us to just let go, and that comes by a revelation of submission and acknowledging Jesus as Lord. See, I don't just preach that Jesus is my Savior, because I believe He is. He went to the cross and took my place. But I believe in Lordship. I believe that we need to come and confess Him as Lord. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, we can confess Him as Savior, but if you really do it, what the Word says, Jesus, it says to confess Him as Lord. To me, Lord is Master. He's the boss of our life. And we need to surrender and submit to Him. And when we do that, then we can start to walk in a level of freedom that maybe we've never had before. See, we have to let God mold us and make us. And what submission really is coming under somebody else's mission. Okay? So when, you know, husbands and wives get married, we submit to each other. And then there's also other things that we talked about, the men on fire, about men being the head of the house that we wasn't going to tell all the women about. But I guess maybe you guys probably read that part. I don't know. But anyway, you know, some men have wrecked it for everybody because they've been dictators, you know. But really, you know, man is the head. And he's the one who is supposed to lead his family. Now, if you're a fallen man who's not really serving the Lord, it gets a little dicey out there how all that works out. But, you know, we need to come under each other's mission. When my wife and I got married, we had a plan. We wanted to serve God. And we submit to each other. We're different from each other. But yet, finally, I know that I, as the man, have to stand before God, and I'll give an account for what I did with my family. Did I lead my family in the things of God? That's not, you know, it is my wife's responsibility also, but I am the head of the house, and it's my responsibility to man up and to be able to assume that. Now, my wife, she comes with me. That means she comes under my mission. And it's the same way with God. We come under God's mission. And that mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That mission is to reach a lost and dying world. And we need to be a part of that. See, we need to see that a Me 2.0 is a work of art made by our master. Don't ever sell yourself short. You know, I believe that every day that you and I wake up, we need to say, I'm a new version of my old self, and I've been recreated for good works to glorify the Lord. See, we were created for good works by a good God. And we need to see that. And even, you know, at my age, I'm still growing. I'm still trying to learn some things. There's things that I don't have it down yet, but I want to. I want to get closer to God. I want to get closer to exactly where God wants me to be. Well, I don't weigh up, you know. Now, on the other hand, I feel somebody needs to hear this. Don't lay awake at night and fret. Oh, I'm not in God's will. You know, I've watched people do that. Oh, and they make it so hard. It's not. See, God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us. All you have to do is pay attention a little bit and have a will in your heart that you want to follow God. And God will lead you, people. You know, it's not hard. Oh, yes, there's a devil out there and he tries to hold us back and all that. There's a battle. I know that. But see, it's for God's best interest that we are in his center of his will. So he's going to do what he can. All we have to do is be willing. And I'll tell you what, the younger you get this, I believe the best your life is going to be. Okay? Now, I want to briefly look at another little point found in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. We're not going to go into this real deep. I've done some teaching on this in the past, and we may come back to it again here maybe next year. We'll see what happens. But it talks about gifts. Okay. It says here, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace. Okay, remember, you know, God's put gifts inside of us now. Given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly, okay? We're supposed to exercise them. That means we have to come out of our shell. We have to use them. Then it says, if prophecy, according to propitiation of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with all diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness, okay? Now, brief little explanation on this. In the scriptures, there are primarily three different locations where God's talking about the gifts that he's given to us. Okay, these are called the gifts of the Father because the Father gave these gifts. Okay, now there's the gifts of the Son found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. You know, there's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. Those are the fivefold ministry gifts. Not everybody will walk in one of those offices. God has, in his foreknowledge, he has predestined these gifts to be given to certain people. Not that they're better than anybody else, it's just what they're supposed to do, okay? With that gifting comes great responsibility, okay? So we've looked at the gifts of the Father, we're gonna come back to these, and the gifts of the Son. Then we have the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12. And there's nine of those gifts, and you can look those up. And those are the gifts of the Spirit, the charismatic gifts, shall we say. You know, where you have prophecy or tongues and interpretation, gifts of healing, all these different things. And the Holy Spirit gives them as he wills. We can't conjure them up. We can't stand there and stress and worry about, oh God, I want that gift, I want that gift. No, you can ask for the gifts, but the Holy Spirit has to give it. And so if he's not giving it, you know, relax. It's okay. He'll give you something else. But just ask that you're right where you need to be. Okay, so those are the three different places in Scripture it primarily talks about gifting. Okay, now I want us to see that we're all gifted somehow. You may not be a pastor today. Who knows, I may not be a pastor. I'm just kidding, I don't know, I hope I am. I've been doing it for a long time. I believe I'm in His will. Sometimes I wonder, and I know some of you by those little notes I get that you wonder too sometimes. No, I haven't gotten any notes. But anyway, you know, our gifts differ from each other, okay? You know, and like I said, these are called the gifts of the Father, and He's given those things. And what's interesting is that we all put our unique flair on our gifting. Even though you may have the gift of mercy, you know, it's going to be molded together with some of your own soulish personality gifts. You know, some of you are sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholy. You know, that sort of stuff. I'm not going to get into all that. But, you know, so those things all kind of add a different twist. You know what I'm saying? So that's what makes us, you know, kind of unique. Now, what I want us to see that God didn't cookie cutter us. We're not all the same. It's okay to be different. But we all do put our different flair on things. And what I want us to understand, the reason for these giftings is the fact that God's a bodybuilder. I mean, Jimmy's over here, he's a bodybuilder. He lifts a lot of stuff, right? He can lift a lot of stuff. I mean, I can lift a hamburger. You know what I mean? You know, that's my big thing. I can lift a hamburger. But, you know, the idea of what it means to build a body, and we need a strong body so we can reach our full potential, right? Most of us has probably had some form of injury in our life. Maybe you hurt your leg or your hand, you know. And when that happens, you probably recognize the fact that you cannot operate at your full potential. You always have to compensate for that part that is weak. And see, I want you to picture your body and compare that to the church, the local church body, okay? So let's say you've hurt your leg and you can't go out and do certain things because of that injury. Well, when the body of Christ, the local church, and somebody is maybe not operating in their gifting, the church is kind of limping through life. You know what I mean? Because somebody is not exercising the gift that God has put inside of them. And we need to see that because we don't want the church to struggle. And like I mentioned, you know, these gifts, what they are, they kind of tell about our, I want to say our spiritual disposition or our spiritual personality traits, you know what I mean? And some of these, I'm just going to go over these real quick just because I've opened the door for it and I don't want to leave it out there. First, it talked about prophecy. This is my primary gift. Now, you can have more than one flow in these a little bit probably, but one you're going to be more dominant. Prophecy is to speak truth and insight. You know, they may not tell you what you want to hear, but they will tell you what you need to hear. So prophecy people, you know, I kind of laugh at God why most pastors, many of them have the gift of mercy. I don't have that one. You know what I mean? And that's why, you know, sometimes I don't have as many friends as the other guy. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, but I've learned to tone it down, believe me. I mean, I've matured in this gift a little bit. Starting out, it was a little dicey, you know, sometimes, you know, because not everybody wants truth. But to me, a prophecy motive gift, you know, the truth will set you free. I mean, you can tell it with a real nice way, you know, but, you know, a prophecy person's like that. Then, you know, it talks about a server. A server sees a need, and then it meets that need. You know, somebody can walk into a room and they just see something that needs to be done. Have you ever watched somebody just pop right in there and get her done? Don't even have to ask them or beg them. Why is that? Because that gift was put inside of them by God. And this is a gift that, you know, that a lot of churches, they have a lot of people, you know, operating in this gift a little bit. They'll just come in and they'll serve and be real anointed in that. And then also you have a teacher. Now, remember in the gifts of the Son, there's a fivefold ministry gift of a teacher. Now, this teacher isn't, you know, in the fivefold ministry, but it's somebody that can, you know, maybe work, you know, with, you know, teaching a Bible study or small group or whatever the case may be. A teacher loves to explain things. Hypothetically, a teacher really loves to dive into the Word of God and study a lot and really dig out truth in it, you know. They just like to mine for gold. You know, it's kind of what they're doing. They really get into it. Then also we have an exhorter. And we all need exhorters sometimes. You know, exhorter would be somebody that's a motivator. You know, they're the kind of person that picks people up and doesn't put them down. You know, Barnabas in the Bible was an exhorter. You know, he was they called son of encouragement. You know, somebody that just, hey, come on, we can do this, you can make it. How many knows we need those people in the body of Christ? We do. We need somebody like that, you know. And there's timing. God will bring, you know, somebody like me that's prophecy motive and repent, dude, get free. Well, sometimes people ain't ready to hear that. So they'll bring an exhorter in. Hey, come on, it's all right. You know, you can beat this, you got this, you know. And, you know, that's what we need. Next, we have a giver. This makes people nervous. We're not going to take up another offering. But there is God-anointed givers. That's your gift. I mean, a giver is somebody that wants to release resources into the kingdom of God. And they just have that giving spirit. And somebody that has that, even a giver, many times, they will give more than they should. And sometimes they can even give more than their family feels comfortable with. You know what I mean? They just love to give. That's just their spiritual personality, a tendency that they have. They just believe so much that they believe that money can be used to win souls. And so that's an anointing that they have. Number six is there's leaders. Those people are to guide and oversee. And I want to make a correlation here. You've maybe heard this before. But what problem that sometimes has, and you can even have this not even just in the church, but it happens also at work. Okay, let's say you have somebody that's a server, and they're very good at serving. They're the best server in the church. So what happens sometimes is the pastor will make the mistake of promoting them to be the head server, the leader. Well, they don't have the gift to lead. And so what happens is they become miserable. And somebody else may have the gift of leadership, and they may not be the best server at all, you know, but they know how to see the big picture. See, I don't want to go into this too deep. I'm getting bogged down. But an illustration of that might be a server shows up to get things done. Let's say you're going to make a meal. But an organized person, they're going to sit down before they even start and make a list of all the materials that you need, you know, before you even start to plan to do that meal. You know, and you need both. You know, you need somebody that's really good at serving as well as somebody that's good at planning. And then the last one, like I said, is the gift, you know, of mercy that comforts people in distress. I remember in Bible school, you know, Denise and I, I don't think we were dating at the time. We were kind of, I suppose the kids call it talking. I don't know what that is now. But anyway, after we had this teaching at school, I went up and told her and her roommate, and I said, yeah, I think I have the gift of mercy. And they looked at me, no, you don't. You know, they just said, ain't no way you got that one, Jack. You know, I said, yeah, I'm really nice. But see, a prophecy motive thinks they're in mercy because they're helping people. See, my heart is to help people. And just sometimes I do it a little faster. I've gotten better at counseling. I milk them out now. I used to be able to counsel people in one session. Not all of them are ready for one session, you know. Now I've milked it to two. I can see it kind of tone it down a little bit. I'm just kidding. But anyway, all right, now let's look at another scripture found in Philippians as we close up here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I want us to understand today. First, we see that we're God's workmanship, okay? Then we have seen that the idea that God has put a gift inside of you. Now, I want us to see that God finishes what he starts. He's going to finish that work inside of you. You know, we need to be willing, and then God will be faithful. That's what we have to remember. See, take hope. God never gave up on Adam and Eve, and God will never give up on you. Never. He'll never give up on you. I mean, it'd been so easy to start over in the Garden of Eden, wouldn't it? I mean, here things really got messed up. Sin entered mankind, and it was just open the door for the devil and just terrible thing. And God could have easily went, boom, just like that, it's over. Grabbed a little more dirt, formed up a man, breathed into it, woo, new start. But no, God finished what he started. And he sent Jesus Christ to redeem us and to bring us back. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. See, we need to work with God. God's grace is given to us so that we can operate in everything, you know, that He's called us to do. See, we need to, now I want you to really write this down. We need to do what we know to do and leave the results to God. That's all we can do. Just do what you know to do. Just be faithful. Just show up on time. Just be there and just do what you're supposed to do. Oh, there's going to be battles along the way. There's going to be things that don't go exactly the way we want all the time. But I do believe this, that God will finish that work. God is going to continually work in our life. And He's going to bring us to the place that He wants us to be, and that's that place of victory. Amen. All we have to do is to be able to work on our motive, to keep our why correct. Why are we doing it? And that'll help us so we don't get into works righteousness. See, the reason why we serve God and get close to God and do everything that God tells us to do is not so we can get saved. We do it because we are saved. I don't do it so God will love me. I do it because I love God. And that's why we do it, is because we love Him. It's not to try to get God to love us back. So maybe we've taken a wrong turn along the way. Have you ever done that? I know I have. You know, we need to get back on track. And, you know, we've maybe taken that wrong road. And, you know, I've taken a wrong road. And, you know, maybe you've even gotten in the ditch. Has anybody went in the ditch before? You know, I used to live in the ditch back when I was young. You know, I went to the same house. I still remember this. I feel still embarrassed about it. Had to go to the same house 2 weekends in a row to get pulled out of the ditch. You know, I mean, just, man, I need to take another route home is what I finally decided, because it just wasn't working, you know. But, you know, I got in the ditch. But see, sometimes we get in the ditch spiritually, and we need to get out of that ditch and get back on the road and stay focused on what's really important. We need to understand that you are the right tool for the job. You know, whatever God's called you to do. You know, sometimes we use the wrong tool. I have a pair of old lineman's pliers that I have that I used to beat with. And they were really good pliers in the beginning. But the more I beat with them and the more I hammered on them, I can't even open them now. And see, sometimes it can get like that. We feel, you know, that, you know, maybe we have to use the wrong tool sometime, or we're the wrong tool. And sometimes that's because we don't have the right tool at our disposal. So I encourage us each today to find out where God wants you to plug in and to get involved. See, the Me 2.0 is all about seeing yourself in the light of God's Word. You know, stop believing the lie of the devil. Stop believing that you're not really here to make a difference in this world. See, the Lord wants us to understand the importance of seeing ourselves as He sees us. It's a life-changing revelation. Do you love what you see in the mirror? I'm not talking physically, but spiritually. When you look in the mirror spiritually, do you love what you see? You should. Even if you're not exactly where you're supposed to be, start to see that you can get there. Start to see that you can make it. Some people, when they look in the mirror, that song Mission Impossible starts to play in their head. You know what I mean? Because we feel like we're an impossible mission sometimes. But I want us to see that we are the right person for the job. You know, it's okay to love yourself, but it's not okay to be in love with yourself. Right? So we need to put ourselves in proper perspective. Now, if you don't remember anything, remember this. God has given us the gifts that we need to accomplish the job that He has called us to do. You need to see that. Know for a fact that God has put that gift inside of you. It's there. The Bible said He's in three different locations. There's different giftings for each and every believer that we can walk in, except for the second one, I guess. Only some are called to be in the fivefold. But far as the other two, we all have the same potential to walk in one of those giftings at least, okay? So we need to see that and be able to accept it, because we were created for good works by a good God. Remember that. We were created for good works by a good God. Let's pray.